Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, very kind. Very kind of you. I feel like, that's the most hyped you're going to be for the rest of this talk here. It's all kind of downhill from here. by the way, so my name is Father Alex. I am a bit of a big deal. Okay. You may have heard of me before.
And then all of a sudden,
I have literally tens of followers on YouTube. Okay. Double digits. So, yeah.
I'm so sorry for bit.
From Windsor. Anyone from make the trip up from the Windsor area? Anyone? Okay. All right. We got a couple hands back there. All right. So, born and raised in Windsor, Ontario. I want to tell you a little bit about my own story, but the most important thing you need to know about me is what the Lord has done in my life. Okay? So I want to share a little bit about what God has done for me. So I grew up in Windsor, Ontario, and probably like some of you, maybe many of you, I was born in a Catholic family. In fact, my parents wanted to make sure I had a really good Catholic education, so they homeschooled me. So, okay, all right. Let's see, don't cheer for that. Don't cheer for that. I'm just kidding. You're like, whoa, he seems kind of normal for a homeschool kid. I feel like sometimes people imagine homeschool kids like they're raised in their parents' basement and they're fed fish heads, you know? And they're like, well, and they come into normal society and they're shocked when we're normal. But anyways, born and raised in Windsor, raised Catholic. We did all the Catholic things. We went to Catholic Mass on Sundays. We prayed prayers before dinner. My mom tried to make us pray the rosary. Didn't like that so much when I was growing up. But for most of my life, my faith was absolutely irrelevant. If I ever ended up at something like this that you're at here right now, it's because my parents strongly encouraged me, right? I.e. forced me, coerced me, blackmailed me. And so I didn't really see the relationship between what we talked about in church and my own life. I would sit there Sunday after Sunday, and some old priest like me would stand up, and he'd say a bunch of things, and I didn't really know what was going on, and whatever he said didn't really impact my life anyway. So as a high school kid, I saw my image of God was, he was this abstract, impersonal force at the edge of the universe who was watching what I was doing, probably with some kind of checklist on a clipboard. And he would watch, and he would just check off different things that I was doing, good or bad. And maybe, just maybe, if I came to the end of my life and I was good enough, God might let me into heaven. But he didn't have any impact on the way I was living my life, day after day. Now, this sort of experience just grew as I was done being homeschooled. My parents sent me to normal school, high school. And I began to meet new friends and have new experiences, do new things. And I got to this point where I wasn't even really sure if God even existed. If he did exist, he probably wasn't like anything like those little old ladies who pray rosaries said he was. I have to say, looking back, there was something missing in my heart. Right? They say there's a God-shaped hole in every human heart that is so big only God can fill it. But that didn't stop me from trying. I tried to fill it with all kinds of things, but eventually what I landed on, what seemed to medicate away the pain of this profound sense of emptiness inside of me, this gnawing feeling that there was something I was missing, that there was something more to life, that there was something I was longing for. I didn't know what it was. And so I personally turned to drinking, alcohol, partying. I got to the point where I remember getting I got my driver's license one day. And, my parents, the rule was, if you grow up in this house, you have to go to church. Anyone else have that rule at home? Yeah.
So I don't want to give you bad ideas here, but this is what I did. I got my driver's license, and my parents were like, well, are you going to Mass? I'm like, yeah, of course. You know, I know I have to. And I didn't want to go to the morning Mass because I want to sleep in. So I drove to the parking lot for the evening Mass. You know, that last chance Mass at the local church, like the 6 p.m., 7 p.m.? And I drive to the parking lot there, and I would just listen to music for an hour on the radio. That's what we did before there were smartphones, right? We sat there like in the Land Before Time. We would sit there, listen to music on the radio, and watch dinosaurs roam the earth. You know, that was when I was young. And then when Mass was just ending, I'd go inside the church, get a bulletin, and then go home and give it to my parents to prove that I'd been to church. But I was just lying, right? I was wearing a mask. I was pretending to be good, pretending to go to church, pretending to do what my parents wanted me to do. And I was lying about it. I was lying to myself. I was lying to God. I was lying to my parents. And so things really began to get bad when I turned 19. And I had started drinking around 16. And it got really bad. It got to the point where I was in college and I was just drinking like 6 days, 7 days a week sometimes. I don't even know how I held it all together. I started to do all kinds of things that I felt really ashamed about, terrible about. Now, like I said, nature abhors a vacuum, right? There was this emptiness inside, and I was just longing. I was just trying so hard to fill it with whatever I could get my hands on. And for me, alcohol worked, medicated away the pain. Doesn't have to be alcohol, could be anything. Could be whatever it is that you turn to when you're alone so that you don't have to feel whatever's going on inside. Could be alcohol, could be drugs, could be scrolling for hours on end, could be hours of YouTube, could be video games, hours and hours of video games. Whatever it is that you can just grasp to distract yourself from this feeling inside that there's something that we're missing, something we're longing for that isn't there. We want to distract ourselves from that pain. Things got, like I said, really bad. And one day, my mom came up to me and she said, Alex, would you go on a free trip to this place called Medjugorje if I paid for it? Has anyone ever heard of Medjugorje? A couple of you? Yeah, it's this place in Europe called Bosnia-Herzegovina. There's this little country town called Medjugorje, a beautiful little town surrounded by vineyards. And apparently, allegedly, Mary, the mother of Jesus, has been appearing there since the 1980s. And she had gone years earlier, and she had a really powerful experience, and she could see that I was really struggling. Like, I didn't know who I was, I didn't know what I believed, and I was just like, I was just living this dark lifestyle. I was up really late at night, I was sleeping in all day, and she just was looking for anything that might be able to get me on the right path. And so she said, okay, I'll pray for the trip, you go. And I thought, hey, why not, free trip, I'll go check it out, do something new. So I traveled, right, to the other side of the world with this group of people. And something began to change in me as I got there, because when I got there, suddenly I was taken out of the context of all these negative relationships with the people around me who were reinforcing my negative behavior. Everyone was praying every day. I was like, wow, this is kind of weird, but it feels good. I felt this sense of interior peace and stillness that I hadn't felt in years. One day, I was walking around the Church of St. James on this glorious sunny day. Like, it was like picked right out of a movie, right? The sun was not a cloud in the sky. It was shining, beautiful, rolling hills and vineyards. And all day long in Medjugorje, people line up all day long to go to confession in all kinds of different languages of the world. And I thought, this idea popped into my head. You should go, Alex, you should go to confession. And I immediately thought, yeah, actually, I would like that. That would be nice. It's been a long, long time, and I would love to go and just get a fresh start. But then something else happened. these waves of shame began washing over me. You can't go in there. Alex, don't you dare go in there. If you tell the priest all the things that you've done, all the things you've done that make you feel unworthy, make you feel ashamed, make you feel like you're unlovable, he's going to look at you, he's going to hear you, he's going to stop you mid-confession, cover his ears, and kick you out. That's how I saw the thing playing out in my mind. And so I was wrestling. I want to go to confession. I want a fresh start. And I hadn't been for years. And even when I did go, I hadn't given an honest confession in years and years. In fact, I had been lying in the confessional for years, not telling the priest what I really did, because I was so ashamed and afraid. And so as a consequence, I was hiding myself, not just from God, but also from myself. And I was wrestling with this. And as I was wrestling with it back, I want to go so bad, but I can't. I want to go, but I'm ashamed. I had this experience. Okay, it's impossible to put into words, but you know how there's those people who walk on hot coals in their bare feet? Okay, it was nothing like that. I had this experience where it was like, okay, this is for real though. This is how it really felt. You ever heard this when people say, hey, they had a near-death experience and they say their whole life flashed before their eyes? Have you heard someone describe that before? Like their whole life flashes before their eyes. And so what happened for me, I was wrestling. I wanted to go to confession so bad, but I was so afraid. I was so ashamed. Suddenly, God's grace broke into my life, and this is what I saw. I saw every single sin I ever committed in my life was suddenly present to my conscious awareness. It's like all the things I did that I was ashamed about, all the people that I hurt, all the terrible things that I said, all the terrible things that I did, the ways that I hurt myself, all of these things were instantly present to my conscious awareness. Imagine that, just for a second. Like everything that makes you feel bad about yourself, all at once. And here's what I realized as I saw this. Three things that I never understood before. The first thing I understood was that my sin wasn't just breaking a rule. It wasn't just breaking a law. It wasn't just failing to live up to that checklist item that God was holding on his little clipboard. What I realized was, one, that sin hurt me deeply. It wounded me in the depths of my being. Two, I saw for the first time how all of my sins had affected all the people in my life that I loved, all the people that were most important to me, my family, my friends, and even the things that I did that I thought that nobody else knew about, that I thought that didn't affect anybody else. I saw how it corrupted all my relationships with all these people. And then the third thing I saw for the first time in my life was the relationship between my sin and the cross. You see, I realized that Jesus died for me. Like it was all these terrible things that I did that I was suddenly confronted with. These are the things that Jesus died for. He didn't just die for humanity in general. He died for me. And so on the one hand, the horror of these terrible things that I had done, that I just felt so ashamed about, confronted with them face to face, seeing the true reality and gravity. And yet, it was absolutely nothing compared to the overwhelming, unconditional love that I felt washing over me, that Jesus Christ would die for me. You see, this is something we don't often realize about the reality of Jesus Christ crucified, the cross. We look at him on our walls, in our classrooms, or in our churches, and there's this man on a cross, and he's there. And we think, yeah, God loves me. God loves me. I've heard of that. This is Jesus. He died on the cross. But we often miss the fact that he died for me, for you. And Jesus says that in his own words. He tells us what the cross means. He says to his disciples long before he dies on the cross, he says, "For no greater love has a man than this, than that he lay down his life for his friends." But if you just think about it in your own life, what is the most precious thing that you have? It's your life. And if we want to know what the value something has, holds, the question is, what is somebody willing to pay for that? Right? Something has value to the extent that someone is willing to pay for it. And what is our value? What is your value? The value is the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Son of the eternal God, coming into this world and laying down his life. The scripture says that in his own body, he bore our sins in his own body so that we might live for righteousness. By his wounds, you are healed. And on that day, let me tell you, I was healed. I felt this infusion of God's love into my heart and my soul. And that gnawing emptiness that I felt before that, it was gone. It was like that there was something, this huge gaping empty space in my heart that was filled with God himself, and that I didn't need to fill it with all these other things anymore. And this love is for all of us. Like, with whatever you're struggling with, you might be sitting there thinking, well, Father Alex, that's nice for you, but like, not me. Maybe the person to my left. Maybe the person to my right, but not me, not with what I've done, not with the things that have happened to me. Maybe you feel unlovable, unworthy. Maybe you're aware that there is something wrong, something missing inside, but you think that just probably for somebody else, but not for me. And I want you to know, if you're thinking that today, you are precisely the person that God wants to fill with his love. You see, scripture also says that, for God proves his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That means Jesus died, even knowing all the things you would ever do in your life that make you feel unlovable, unworthy, all the things that make you feel most ashamed about yourself, that Jesus sacrificed himself so that through him we might have life and have it to the full. Because in the beginning, God created us for relationship with himself. And we know that we're separated from that love by our sin. But Jesus came, for God so loved the world that he gave his only beloved Son, that through him we might have life. And so what I'd like to do is offer an invitation to you. Because see, faith isn't just accepting a set of things that we believe to be true in the abstract. Faith is trust in a person, in the person of Jesus. And it's a decision to trust in the love that he has for us. And so what I'd like you to do, what I'd like to invite you to do is, if you want to open your heart to that love today, if you want to make a decision to place your trust in Jesus, the living God who died for you in your specific concrete situation, knowing exactly what you've done, knowing exactly what you will do, knowing all the things that have happened to you that make you feel unworthy of his love, knowing all the things that have happened to you that, or the things that you've done that make you feel disqualified from his love, that Jesus is offering this love today to you. And so if perhaps you've never done this before, but you want to make a decision to trust in this love, I just invite you to maybe raise your hand. Yeah. Maybe raise your hand. Okay. Anyone who raised their hand, I just invite you to stand, in fact, if you want to stand. Yeah. Well, don't everybody stand. I mean, I'm just kidding. Okay. Just close your eyes. I'm going to invite you just to make a very simple prayer. Just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for all the ways I've sinned against you. I accept that there are things that I have done that maybe I believe disqualify me from your love. There are things that have happened to me that make me feel unlovable. But today, I choose not to trust in those things, but to trust in you, to trust in your love, to trust in your unconditional love for me. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. I invite you into my heart. Come and be Lord of my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, you can have a seat. Thank you.